Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Thank you all for being an encouragement. Thank you for being faithful in your attendance today. And I want to tell you what, before I get to preaching here, but God blesses faithfulness. He cannot help but bless faithfulness because He is a faithful God. If you have your Bible this morning, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3, and I called Billy Walker. There's Wayne Ard, my buddy. Amen. And I asked him, I said, Billy, I know we're in Philippians 3, in the book of Philippians right now, but I'm feeling led to preach a passage that you're going to be looking at in a week or two. Is that okay with you? And he said, Brother, can you just preach on whatever God's telling you to preach? And there's a ton of truth in chapter 3. But we're going to look at Philippians 3, verses 12 through 16. And if you would, one more time, honor God's Word as best you can by standing. Just invite you to stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. If you're able to, if not, you honor God's Word as best you can in your heart. Can y'all hear me? I can't hear myself much, but y'all can hear me? All right, good deal. Verse 12, Philippians 3. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. You know, a lot of us, we're trying to do way too much. Trying to do too many things. Listen to what the Word of God says. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Verse 15, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Father, I pray you'd help your servant today to rightly divide the word of truth. I'm not anything more than just your mouthpiece today. Your spokesperson, God, and over there in the Old Testament, you spoke to Balaam through a donkey. So God, I pray you'd speak through your servant today, that you would give us your truth so that we might live in it and walk in it. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible, authoritative word. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we're celebrating our one-year anniversary today. Duh. We've mentioned that several times today to you. But when I think back to March the 25th of last year, I had no idea what all God was going to do over the next 12 months. And I want to tell you, God has done an amazing thing here. Diana and I and Isaac left Waynesboro after having been there almost 20 years, and God called us back home. He made it real clear through a bunch of different scriptures that He gave to her and myself, and that we were to come home to reach Clarksville for King Jesus. And in order to do that, a pastor needs to have a church family, you know. And so after being at First Baptist for about 13 months as one of their associate pastors, I just couldn't get away from this call to begin something new and something fresh and something here. And I, at the time, we wanted to be out at exit 4 because, I mean, it's blowing and growing. How many of y'all been out to exit 4 lately? Have mercy. But what we quickly found out was, and there was about 6 to 8 of us that was really, really pulled together and started praying about starting this new church. And then that number turned into about 22 or 24. I can't remember exactly to a core group. But as we looked at exit 4, y'all know how much property is out there? Whew. It's not only an arm and a leg, it's the other arm and leg too. And there's not much to lease out there. And then all of a sudden, this place opened up. And I think you all heard us. I used to wait tables down here 40 years ago when I was in school over at Austin Peay. And Mike proposed to Donna Rainey at a table right over there in that corner. Be careful over there, Ronnie. That's Holy Ghost territory over there. But anyways, the Raineys got engaged over there years ago down here. And so God opened this place up, and hadn't it been marvelous this year? We've seen God do some amazing things. I never dreamed we'd grow so quickly, but we have. We're right around somewhere between 190 and 200 just about every Sunday. Sometimes a little more than that, sometimes less than that. We've seen 35 people follow the Lord in believers' baptism this year. 35. That's pretty good. I think Donna told me we've had 108 people go through our first mile class and join the church. Now, let me just say this to those of you that have been baptized. You still got to go through this class with me to become a member of the church. And it's the last class we just got finished with just went on and on about it. They loved it. Not a deep doctrinal class. But we've had that many people join the church in this past year. We're past the days of just walking down the aisle, taking the preacher by the hand, and the preacher saying, "You're in." You need to understand what the expectations are of a New Testament church, and you need to understand what you're going to get out of it and what we're going to expect you to do. And so we've had 108, I think. Is that right, Donna? And we began a children's ministry in the back. And, man, our children's workers are top-notch. They are wonderful. And I was told 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had 30 children back there. I said, 30 children. And we've got a middle school ministry that meets down here. And we've got 12 to 14 of them. And we've got a ministry to our military families that's second to none. We've got a ministry, nursing home ministry with Signature out on Old Farmers Road. And Walking Horse met us. We've got a ministry to the nursing homes, and we've got a hospitality ministry, and we bless our ladies, bless and touch everything that they lay their hands on, and we've got a praise team here that Lydia helped us put together, and she's kind of helped us get off the ground musically and in our worship time, and we appreciate Marty filling in for her these last 2 weeks, and I could go on and on and on about the things that God has done. But let me just say this to you, Second Mile. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. It is not how you start that counts. It's how you finish. And I want to tell you, I believe the finish line is getting closer and closer and closer for us. Because, I mean, the devil's got his stuff ramped up. Well, I'm going too long with the introduction here, but there is a tremendous passage of Scripture here. This text, verses 12 through 16 of Philippians 3. And it points out at least 3 things that we need to swallow, meditate on, and be obedient to in this next year. I don't know what all God's going to do, but He's going to do some major things this coming year through this church. And really the first thing that the Holy Spirit made real clear to the Apostle Paul is that we need to assess our situation. That's what the Apostle Paul's doing. He says, verse 12, and he begins to assess his situation realistically, okay? He says, look at verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. In other words, the Apostle Paul is sitting down. He's assessing the situation that his ministry is in. And you know, he almost begins to talk, I hadn't arrived yet. I'm not there yet. I'm not totally complete and mature and ready. I haven't arrived. I'm not there yet. And he's talking like almost as if he's a rookie in the faith or some kind of novice in the ministry. I mean, this is the Apostle Paul saying this. Now, when he wrote these words, he'd already written much of your New Testament. And he had started dozens and dozens of churches. Churches in Galatia, Antioch, Berea, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. Aren't you impressed that I can say those names? And Corinth, and Berea, and Ephesus. And Paul had preached. You remember the great sermon in Acts? He had preached to the Mars Hill intellectuals there at the seminary on top of Mars Hill. He was evangelistic. He had led hundreds of people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been on several mission trips by this time. He had mentored dozens of men in the ministry. He'd been shipwrecked, stoned, almost stoned to death. He'd been beaten with rods. He'd been shipwrecked and he'd been left for dead. I mean, anything that could possibly have happened to the Apostle Paul has happened. And Paul said, I hadn't arrived yet. I mean, you'd think if anybody was getting it done, it'd be the Apostle Paul, right? And as I look back on our time, what a great year it's been. But I want to tell you, we also need to assess our situation. And we have not arrived yet either. And you know why I say that? Because of what the Apostle Paul's saying here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul was satisfied with Jesus, but he wasn't satisfied with his Christian life. And I think Paul was assessing his situation realistically in light of one hard, cold fact. Listen to me. That the world he was living in was lost, dying, and going to hell for all of eternity. I believe what the Word of God says. And the vast majority of people today are like people in Paul's day. They were dying. And I want to tell you, if you die outside of Christ, you're going to die in your sin and have to pay for your sin in a devil's hell forever separated from God. And I want to tell you, we are 86 to 90% unchurched now. And what that means... 180,000 Montgomery Countyans today have no church home. They don't go to church. They don't have knowledge of Scripture. They don't know what a church is all about. They have no relationship with God. They might be spiritual, but you can be spiritually dead. Unchurched families all around us. And these people, if they were to die today, the vast majority of them would split hell wide open. We need to assess our situation like the Apostle Paul did realistically. But secondly, the Apostle Paul assesses his situation in ministry resolutely. Look at 12b. He said, I like this, y'all. I just can't help it. I press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Now, many times in Paul's writings and his epistles and his letters to the church, he uses this athletic imagery. You know, they did have some Greek games in those days. And athletes would compete and run in a race and all different kinds of athletic events. And so the picture we have here is of an athlete running in a race. And the same kind of commitment that Paul had in persecuting Christians now drove Paul to spread Christianity. He had one consuming passion in his life, and that was to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus had laid hold of him. What are we talking about there? Our number one priority, Second Mile. Our number one priority. If we don't do anything else this next year, we had better be reaching people for Christ and teaching people to follow Christ. Why is that? That's what Jesus told us to do. I said, that's what Jesus told us to do. Why are you still here, brother, sister, believer? So that you can help accomplish what Jesus told us we needed to accomplish. To make disciples. To win. And I'll tell you, a church that that's not after lost people isn't worth the property she's sitting on. We need to be after the lostness in this area, in the community. You know what I've found out? People don't care how much we know. They don't. They want to know how much we care. And I love the name Second Mile, don't you? I have people almost every week ask me, Pastor, what's up with the name on your church? And I'll just go to Matthew 5:41. Well, we're just trying to go the second mile, the extra mile, in order to get people to Jesus Christ. Whatever we got to do. You mean whatever? I don't care how much money it costs. I don't care how much time it costs. I don't care what the cost is. That's what Jesus told us to do. And you know, wherever God has put you at work, placed you in your neighborhood, some of y'all are retired, but that's good. You can go to work for Jesus full time if you're retired. God wants you to be faithful not until you retire or get tired, but until you expire. Oh, that's a sermon there. Anyways, I want you to set a goal this morning. I want you just one person a week. Just one person. Share your story. Tell somebody what Jesus has done for you. Just set one goal, one person a week. How many weeks in the year is that? If all of us would set a goal like that in here this morning, you know what happened? A bunch of folks would come to Christ. And then we're responsible for getting them disciples so that they can make disciples. Set a goal. And so we were assessing our situation this morning. Realistically, we live in a lost community. We live in a lost world. And resolutely, we're going to press on and lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of us. We want to see people saved and become like Jesus. Are y'all with me? And then secondly, I think the Word of God, the text here is telling us, not only once we have assessed our situation, we need to adjust our sights. Donna's going to shoot me, but I was showing her a text on my phone a few minutes ago, and she had that cell phone way out here. If I hadn't had my glasses on, that's what I'd have been doing. But you see, brothers and sisters, once we have assessed our situation, we need to adjust our sights. We need to look out here in the future and what God's calling us to do. And Paul says there in verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Now, he's backing up again and saying pretty much what he's already said. But the mature Christian, from time to time, examines his or her life. He or she comes to a full stop in adjusting our sights. And I didn't say a screeching halt. Just a full stop and begins to evaluate who we are, what we are, and where we are. In other words, you ought to be asking yourself this morning, what kind of worship leader am I? What kind of soul winner am I? What kind of Bible teacher am I? What kind of praise singer am I? What kind of hospitality ministry worker am I? What kind of children's worker am I? And what if everybody, every church member was just like you? What kind of church would we have? Isn't that a good question? Because you see, I've had to ask myself that this week too. If everybody was the kind of church member that I am, what kind of church would we have? We need to adjust our sights and look out. You see, don't fall into this trap of coming to a screeching halt. I'm just talking about coming to a full stop and evaluating who you are, where you are, and what you are. We're big about singing, standing on the promises while we're sitting on the premises. We need to quit sitting and start serving. If that's your case, just let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart today and just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And then once we've come to that full stop in adjusting our sights, secondly, we get a fresh start. Now look at this. Look at 13b. He says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, whew, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. After we have come to a full stop and adjust our sights, and we're seeing, as we evaluate our ministries and ourselves, we begin to look out and see what is it that God wants us to do. And then Paul said this one thing. Some of y'all, and this is me sometimes. How many of you really have a hard time saying no? All of you folks who have the spiritual gift of service or ministry, that's part of the backside of your spiritual gift. You get overprogrammed. And you wind up doing too many things. And what all of us need to do is just this one thing, Paul said, I do. Forgetting what lies behind. Now that doesn't mean forget all about the past. Man, we learned some great lessons, didn't we, in 2018 and 19, right? And so we can learn from the past, but we don't live in the past. And I want to tell you, this is a message for me. Because I'm guilty sometimes about talking about the glory days. When you really stop and think about it, some of those glory days weren't that glorious. Right? Those of you that are old enough know what I'm talking about. And so we don't live in the past. We learn from the past. God's not real interested in what we did for Him yesterday. The Scriptures continually ask, what are you doing today? What are you doing right now? 1 John, I believe it's chapter 4 and verse 15 says that those of you who believe in the name of the Son of God continue to believe in the name of the Son of the living God. We're to forget what lies behind, and we're to strain forward. The imagery here is that of an athlete, a runner. I mean, pressing forward, giving it everything he's got, gasping for breath, giving every ounce of... Can't you see the Apostle Paul doing that? Well, that's the imagery we need to get in. And Paul forgot all about his past accomplishments, and he's straining forward to what God's calling him to do. Any of y'all familiar with Satchel Paige, the great Kansas City Monarch baseball pitcher of the old Negro Baseball League? Satchel Paige once said, keep running, don't look back, because somebody might be gaining on you. We need to keep running, second mile. We need to keep going forward. Now's not the time to sit on our laurels and to rest and on what we've accomplished for God's glory. Now's the time to press on. And so the fresh start not only included pressing on with a plan, it includes pressing on for the prize. Did you catch that? I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I've entitled this message today, Second Miles High Calling. We've been called out by God Himself. We're the set apart, sanctified, separated people of God. And this calling that God's put on our life is a high calling. And it ends, y'all know how good God is. He has called us to be His witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Right? And that's our responsibility is to make disciples, to make followers of Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. And then Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says that when we're obedient to what God's called us to do, He's going to give us the power to accomplish what He's called us to do. Oh, that's good. And God's so good, at the end of our life, after we've been obedient to the call and He's given us the power to accomplish what He told us to do, we're going to get a prize for doing what He told us to do in the first place. Look at your neighbor and say, God is good. You're not going to get a deal. What's the prize? Well, you know, He going to write me a big check? Here it is. We're all going to stand before Jesus one day. And you're going to be so glad that you ran for His glory. We're all going to stand before Jesus. Every one of us. Not some baseball coach. Not some fishing guide. Not Hank Parker. Not some We're going to stand before Jesus. And you're going to hear one of two things. Great job. You ran your race. You made some mistakes. You failed once or twice, but thank you. Why don't you just come on in and enjoy the fruits of your labor? Welcome to heaven. And the vast majority of folks are going to hear this. Who are you? Depart from me. I never knew who you were. You see, it's not whether you know Him, it's whether or not He knows you. For me, that's the prize. Are you running in such a way? And my last point, and I'll close quickly, is apply the sermon, and that's what we're already talking about. And by the way, an athlete does not win the contest that he or she's running in by cheering others on, which is important, or listening to lectures, which is also good, or watching videos and tapes and that kind of things, getting advice. How does an athlete win the race? By getting in the race. By running. Obedience. And can I just say this? I love y'all enough. You're gonna hear some truth from me. Christianity is not a spectator sport. Every one of us. Every single one of us. Well, Brother Cal, I'm 90 years older than dirt, and my knees are killing me, and my back's hurting, and I can't do what I used to do. Praise God. You know what you can do? You can get on our prayer team. There's all kinds of things. You can even sit in the back like some of our senior ladies back here and hold a baby in your lap so that those young parents can come to worship. Everybody can do something for Jesus' sake. Every one of us. Who do you think put all this food down here to snack on this morning? The coffee. Wasn't the coffee good? Jump in with the hospitality team. Children's ministry. I want to tell you, our men do such a great job out here on the parking lot. I've had people, Mike, tell me over and over again, I sensed and felt the Holy Spirit when old Mike Boyce opened up the car door. I have. so welcoming. What we need to do intentionally. And so, I know it's a novel thought for some of us, but we need to apply the word from the Word of God to our lives this morning. That's our high calling, to press on. And by the way, I don't let me hear you complaining about the church. I'm too old for that anymore. If you don't like the church, by the way, the church is the bride of Christ. If you don't like the church, if you don't like the pastor, if you don't like the Bible study leaders, if you don't like this or like that, just quit complaining and go to praying and jump in here and help us do it better. Hallelujah. It's time to get positive. Negativity won't get us anywhere. Well, all that's going to do is slow us down. And so, brothers and sisters, look at your neighbor and say, he's fixing to tell us something. If we'll this morning assess our situation realistically and understand that we live in a lost community and resolutely decide to lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of us, to make disciples, to win people to faith, we can adjust our sights by coming to a full stop and examining where we need to go, looking up, and we'll get a fresh start for 2019 and 2020. And as your pastor, I want you to come join me. I want you to come press on with me. And Marty, I'm like a dinosaur in some ways. But I think back to these old hymns and songs we used to sing growing up. Do y'all remember this one? I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. What do you say, brothers and sisters? Let's quit playing church and let's do what God's called us to do. That's our high calling. And we're all going to stand before the Lord one day. We're all going to stand before the Lord one day. And you're going to hear one of two things. I don't know about everybody in here, but you know me well enough. I want to hear, "Well done, Cal." And then I'm going to lay those crowns that Jesus is going to give me at His feet. Do you know what a privilege that'll be? As He's sitting there on the throne, oh God, here's this crown of righteousness. Oh Lord Jesus, here's this crown of rejoicing. Are you going to have something to give Jesus? Because you see, that's the prize. Let's pray. Lord, I'm struggling with how to close this message today, but I believe it's so important that we understand how important it is to be a part of a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And we have this high calling to make disciples. And Lord, we've got the mission statement right here. Reaching people for Jesus and teaching people to follow Jesus. We've got that right. And Lord, we've got our strategies right. Our core values are right. But God, we need to accomplish what you first laid hold of us for, so that others might come to know you. We need to keep pressing on. If you're here this morning and God's spoken to your heart this morning, there's room at the cross for you.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.